The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, Central Time, Thursday, April 6, 2023. Dave Krieger with you. Thanks so much for joining us in this segment. Our last segment, we had State Representative Holly Jones, who has sponsored this bill, House Bill 1169 in Missouri. And this has to do with, and I implore you to get on that phone once you get the email blast and look up the Emerging Issues Committee and start blowing up their phones and calling the committee members. I don't care where you are, what part of the country you're in. We need to be putting labels on food that our government intends to inject with mRNA. They're going to allow manufacturers to do this. The government, according to my latest sources, and this is one of the reasons why we have Mike Knox on the phone with us from White Harvest Seeds, and you have to understand, according to the news reports, and we covered a little bit of this in health intersection we were just starting to talk about, but understand that, you know, since January 1st of 2022, the USDA implemented a new U.S. bioengineered food disclosure standard. And the shoppers, you see the labels on foods with the terms bioengineered or derived from bioengineering printed on a green seal with the sun shining down on cropland. What a joke. Many of these processed foods have high fructose corn syrup, beet sugar, soy protein that might fall under this new disclosure standards. Certain types of eggplant, potatoes, and apples may have to carry labels as well. And this is part of the disclosure debate, because now they want to put mRNA vaccines in your food, which is one of the reasons why we're trying to be proactive here. And Mike Knox is with us on the show from White Harvest Seed Company. We appreciate you joining us once again, Mike.
Hey, Dave. Glad to be with you this morning.
Well, and I mean, you couldn't have picked a better time to come on the show as far as topical goes. I have in my hot little hand right here, I'm holding it up to the camera for those of you who want to take a look at it here. And this is the White Harvest Seed Company, The Basics, What Every Gardener Needs to Know. And it's a booklet here that shows you actually how long the vegetable seeds live, how to store them, when to plant them, how to plant them, fall planting, spring planting, old-timers tips for weather. I don't know. I've really seen, I just planted all mine raised bed. And I want to tell you, this is one of the things. I'm holding them up on the screen right now. This is the salad greens kit. It has 12 packets of seeds in it. And we also have the, let's see if we can find the label. This is the 10-packet open-pollinated non-GMO heirloom variety home cook and herb kit. So anybody that wants to raise summer savory and all the other good stuff, they're right there. Sounds like a winner. I should go plant some of that today, by the way. And then we've got the big 40-packet kit for those of you who really want to go crazy in your garden. And that's all from the White Harvest Seed Company, available here at the Power Mall. And for those of you watching us on camera, you know, you get to see just exactly how much you get. And, of course, that is not my entire seed collection. But this is all heirloom stuff. And, Mike, I'll let you explain what all that's about. Non-GMO, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. It's a kit that we put together for the home gardeners that, well, that's the basic things that most people grow. It's none of the wild, exotic things. And we picked out the things that were easy to grow, produced well, and just the most popular varieties that people like to grow in their gardens. You know, none of the things that you just grow to look at necessarily or to smell. These are the things that provide that food source for you. That's for your family. That, man, I tell you what, with the way prices are in a grocery store, man, this is the year to grow it yourself. It really is.
Well, but it's not just the prices of the food. It's now what's in the food, because they literally are, they're geoengineering all those, that produce you're eating. assume that right out of the gate. And so you can't, to me, if you've been warned, all of you that are listening to the show have been warned what's about to happen. They're about to start injecting cattle with the and sheep and chickens and everything else with the mRNA jab. They're going to get that damn vaccine into people, whether you like it or not. You're going to have to just literally, I'm sorry, but you're going, this is why we're talking about this now. This is a warning. Because, see, if they're getting that much pushback in the Missouri legislature as well, they shut it down in Tennessee. But North Dakota, Arizona, Idaho are all considering this. And if you're not paying attention to what's going on and you're not calling these committee members and telling them you need to pass this bill and require them to put labeling on the food, all you are going to have left is White Harvest seeds and vegetables, and that's what you're going to be eating. You're going to be going vegan unless you've got chickens that you're raising for meat or eggs or rabbits. And speaking of which, too, if you plant marigold seeds, we're being told it'll keep a lot of the critters out of your garden.
That's true.
But anyway, so the here's some things as far as potting soil. Now, I went and got the seed starter kit. I wasn't messing around. I got to get on this. Right away, some of you will go out and you'll buy the little cups that I bought. They're made out of peat, and they come to a package of 18. I think Miracle Grow makes them, and I basically put a little bit of raised bed garden soil in the bottom, and then I filled the rest of it with the seed starter, and I plunk those seeds about an inch down and start watering. You water the entire shell so it stays moist, and as you see the shell dry out, you rewater them. And so, you know, when all of a sudden these things start sprouting, you can just take that entire container and plunk it right in the raised bed garden, and that peat will break down and the plant will absorb into the garden without shocking the plant by transplanting it. Make sense to you, Mike?
And that's, you're right on the money there, because that the thing that you really want to make sure of, though, is when you do put it in the ground, in your raised bed or in your ground where your garden is, you want to make sure that the cup, the top lip of the cup is under the ground. Because if that top lip is above ground, it will wick the moisture, draw the moisture from the roots, and it'll dry out the roots. So make sure that that cup is buried below the surface of the top surface of the soil.
Good tip. Glad I brought it up, because, you know, I would have sat there and go, wow, that looks nice. It just even, now you got to put it down below, below the soil line. Thanks for that tip, Mike. You see, you learn something new on the show every day. And so just remember, if you're going to use that, and I know there's a lot of people that are out there looking for those shells right now, they are literally selling, and I'm talking Tractor Supply and other places like this that I have visited, they are selling out of raised bed garden soil like crazy. Because some of the places here, the ground is just messed up. The chemicals that have contaminated the soil, all this crap that's floating around in the sky that they're spraying the sky with, you know, people are afraid. I've got all my stuff in a greenhouse right now, and I have a feeling when that corn starts to sprout, I'm going to have to find a place outdoors, because no greenhouse is going to support all that corn. So I'm going to have to put it, and it's heirloom variety, folks. So understand that, you know, when you get the White Harvest seeds, and we're selling them at the Power Mall, which is why we have Mike Knox on here, is to explain these particular starter kits. Now, the home cooking herb seed kit is basically all the stuff you would use in cooking.
That's correct. Yeah, so things like cilantro, dill, oregano's, even though cayenne is a pepper, it's considered an herb. Also, the cayenne pepper's in there for your seasoning. Some are savory. So I mean, it's just a well balanced parsley, basil. It's all those things that you do for chefs, you know, to just get those extra flavors and things. And it's the common stuff, things that's not, you know, that you're going to use, not just have in your garden to look at. So again, it's a well balanced kit that will just give you the means to have a great tasting meals in your house.
Well, the reason I like it, we have a rosemary plant, Mike, that has just taken off like a rocket. I mean, that thing is bushed out like nobody's business. And rosemary, we always like to use rosemary for pork chops and stuff. Mm-hmm. And now we got to look at the label to see whether they've jabbed the pig with mRNA, because all the stuff is, it's going to spread throughout the pig system or the cow system or the chicken system. It's going to infiltrate it with spike proteins. You're going to take it home and you're going to ingest it. Now, wow. There is some thought process to the genetic engineering of all of this stuff. These seeds are not genetically modified seeds. You have to understand that. My understanding of heirloom, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, heirloom means that you can take the seeds out of the existing plants that you grow. You can dry them out. There's a process for doing that, right? I'll let you explain what that is, and then you can actually replant those seeds out of the heirloom vegetables you grow and have them again for the next season, again and again and again. Is that right?
That is correct. Heirloom is a kind of a classification where it's a seed that has been grown true to type for over 25 years. The open pollinated side, which is under that in that description also, is what you just described, where you can take a seed, and if you grow it correctly, you know, what I mean by that is prevent the cross-pollinations of things that can happen with it, then the seed that you save from that, after you go through the process of growing it, drying it, harvesting it, cleaning it, and all that type of thing, then you can save that seed and use it year after year after year. And the best thing about heirloom seeds and open pollinated seeds, which are essentially the same thing, that growing them in your area, they become acclimated to the environment, to the soil that's there, and so they will actually adjust, if you want to say it that way, themselves to that environment and become very stronger and not be as affected by bugs and diseases that are common in that area. It develops a natural resistance, if you want to say it that way. So, yeah, it's a great way to do it. There's the biggest thing to understand, Dave, is that you've got to prevent and be concerned about cross-pollination. You mentioned corn a minute ago. You've got to grow your heirloom corn at least 1 to 2 miles away from any other corn, GMO corn or other heirloom pollinated, open pollinated corn, all those things, else you will get a cross with that. And, of course, you don't want to be in crossing with the GMO corn because then you have a major problem there. So cross-pollination is something that you have to educate yourself on.
Right, and I'm looking at this because I'm going to go out and plant these things as soon as the rain stops because we're getting rain down here like crazy this morning. It all of a sudden, we got a cold front, dropped down. It was 47 when I got up this morning. But anyway, this is Summer Savory. It's certified organic, folks. Giant of Italy parsley, Italian large leaf basil, cayenne long thin hot pepper, sweet marjoram. That's organic also. Cilantro, coriander, thyme, which that's certified organic, but this is really good. It's common winter, but you don't have to wait till winter to plant it. Dill bouquet. I mean, dill, boy, fresh dill, nothing like that, especially when you have cucumbers and you can mix the dill in with the cucumbers and sour cream. Greek oregano and garden sage. So, you know, if you like these kinds of herbs, they are all in this 12-pack kit. And the instructions, by the way, I'm going to hold them right up to the screen so you can see them. Now, you can't read them, but for those of you that actually are watching us video streaming, you can actually see that the directions are on the back of each one of these packages. So it will tell you, you know, pretty much what you want to space, how long it will take to germinate. Most of these look like they're somewhere between 2 to 4 weeks to germinate. Is that right?
Yeah, the herbs take a little bit longer. Some of those things like dill and those type of some of those will germinate quicker. But yeah, some of the specialty herbs that you see there take a little longer. They take a little extra love, and the temperatures are key on the soil and things like that. Sometimes you have to scar the seed. Sometimes you have to freeze the seed, but I don't think any of those you have to do that. But like the basil, golly, the basil will pop up fairly quickly. Things like the thyme and the majoram and all that will take a little longer. But so yeah, you have two to three weeks at the most to get some germination on those.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. And I mean, there's plenty of seeds. I mean, I'm looking at the packet right now, and there's plenty of seeds in the bottom of this packet, folks. And if you can just, you know, like plant a row of each of these things, and the rows don't have to be big. Some of you that like to do, I'm a big fan of raised bed gardening. And as long as you can control the moisture, because putting raised bed gardens outside, especially if you have major downpours and you plant right before a major downpour, you're going to have a little bit of washout. And that's not a good thing. That's destroyed a lot of my attempts at planting. That's why a lot of people like doing it in greenhouses, a great place to grow herbs, especially if you have the vertical stanchions that I've got. So there's other things that you need to understand, because right now we're in a crisis situation. This is something that you need to be paying attention to. And if you have questions, this is the time to get on the phone, 844-769-2944, and ask Mike Knox, because he's got the answers. He's been doing this stuff. He's always loved to garden. In 2010, he got this inspiration to do White Harvest Seeds, and that's what he's doing. He's in the Missouri Ozarks, and the soil is a little rocky there, but they still, you figured out ways to do this and make it work for yourself. And so if you've got questions about any of the stuff that Mike Knox has experiential knowledge in, this would be the time to call up and ask, especially when it comes to vegetable gardening and you've never done this before and you're trying to grow veggies in your apartment, in the city, or whatever the case may be. I like the vertical stacks. I don't know. Some people have done windowsill gardening. Other people have said windowsill gardening is kind of tricky. We've had people comment on that on the show. Then, you know, certain instances you've got pests. And what are you using for pest control, especially outdoors?
Well, we use all natural products. We use a product called diatomaceous earth. Right. We also use cold processed neem oil. And those are essentially the two that we use. You can also use the plants themselves to be a pest control. Like you mentioned, marigolds and nasturtiums planted around in white icicle radishes planted around your squash will help keep the squash bugs away. On that herb kit, there's actually a bug preventer in there. The dill, when people have tomato plants, they have those big old nasty tomato worms that get on their plant and eat their leaves and stuff like that, and it sometimes they take over. Plant some dill next to your tomatoes, and those big old lunar moths that plant those, that lay that egg for that big caterpillar worm, they love dill. Okay, now your dill plant will be chewed up. the worms will go to it. It's their delicacy. So yeah, plant some dill next to your tomatoes, and the bugs will tend to, those worms will tend to go to those dill plants and leave your tomatoes completely alone.
Wow.
That's called companion gardening. And there's lots of different things that on that subject. A book that's out there that explains all that is a book by Louise Riota, I think is how you pronounce her last name, but it's called Carrots Love Tomatoes. And that, for any of your listeners, I would highly, highly recommend that book if you want to learn about companion gardening.
That is so cool. I know that Marjorie Wildcraft, we've had her on the show, and she's explained a little bit of that, but she didn't go into detail like what you just did. Carolyn in Washington, you're on the phone with Mike Knox. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I got all excited about a week and a half ago now, because it was gorgeous weather in Washington State, and so I planted in little cups in the house my zucchini and cucumbers and sunflower seeds. Well, the weather turned really bad, so I'm not about to put them outside, but now they're tall and lanky and starting to fall over, and I don't know what to do because I can't put them outside.
How big of cups? Hi, Carolyn, by the way. How big of cups are they in? What's the container size that they're in right now?
I transplanted them into, I don't know what you call it. It's about 3 inches across, maybe four.
Okay, that's good. I was wondering if you had them in those little bitty cups the size of a half dollar.
That's where they started.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, transplanting with that bigger thing, you think about those squash and zucchini that you started there, they're kind of touchy when you transplant, so you want to do as little of that as possible. So get them into the bigger container was good. What you can probably do at this point, you're in a unique state with all the weather situations that you have, but if you can add some soil to the top, kind of mound up, you know, kind of give them a little bit of extra support around the base of the plants, that will help. If you do, I hate to tell you to transplant again, but that might be the best thing for you, but transplant them into a big pot, like maybe a 6-inch diameter pot, maybe a 6-inch deep pot if you can, so that you won't have to keep doing it, because the more often that you transplant, you're taking a big risk on those plants of damaging their roots. So just try to build up some soil. If you can do it to a bigger container before you go outside, that's what I would suggest.
How high up around the stem can I go? I understand tomato plants are the only ones that like to be bury their stems.
Well, that's true. probably, maybe, you know, I don't know how spindly your plants are at this point without seeing them, but, you know, just kind of use maybe a half inch to an inch just to give them some support. Do you have a light above them, or are they just by the window?
No, that's my problem. I have no growing lights.
Okay. Well, the thing is that they're going to continue to grow up because there's no light directly above them. What I tell folks is to have a light source 2 to 3 inches above your plants when you're growing them inside to start them. If you have them just in a window or whatever, they're just going to continue to put all their energy into growing up. They're going to reach for the sky, in other words, is what they're going to do.
Right.
So definitely if you can get some type of light over them, that will slow them down, and then they'll start beefing up their stalks. But if you can't do that, just try to do some sowing. You probably need to try to get them in a bigger container in the outside as soon as you can when the weather breaks for you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your call, Carolyn. The phone lines are open, 844-769-2944. If you have a gardening question for Mike Knox as far as the White Harvest seeds that he sells, we have them right here at the Power Mall, folks. All the kits that I just talked to you about, we have available today, and the Power Mall is open, so you can call. We've got the Home Cooking Herb Seed Kit, which I just held up into the camera right here, so you can actually see these. These look good. I should, like I said, as soon as I get a chance to get out in the greenhouse, I've got a couple of long row buckets that I can fill up, and these things are about probably 8 inches deep, and I can actually fill these up, and I've got a separate raised bed that I can set them all in and get them started. And you don't need a lot of space between these, do you?
No, each variety of plant, you know, has its own kind of how big the plant itself gets and the spacing. So I'm not at my desk, so I can't remember exactly the spacing on some of those things. But generally, you can kind of, you know, like basil is going to need like a 2-foot by 2-foot square area to grow in. You know, pepper is about the same, your cayenne pepper that's in there. The parsley, of course, is going to be more of a broadcast type thing. So it varies on each one. So just read the instructions, plant them as we tell you to, or however source you're going off of, and you'll have plenty of good luck for that.
Yep,
spacing is important. Don't overcrowd. Yeah. Don't overcrowd.
Right. Yeah. And see, the thing is that we're always tempted to over, you know, put so many seeds in a hole, and you really don't need to do that. I usually, when I'm planting, just to be on the safe side, because I know some seed companies that you buy, not all the seeds germinate. And I don't know, White Harvest seeds, I'm assuming since they're non-GMO and they're heirloom seeds, the chances of them germinating are much greater if you follow the instructions.
We meet our germination records, our standards meet all the state standards, and they meet our personal standards. So, and that's a key one there for, I think, is that we don't sell anything that will not produce for you and germinate if you grow it, if you do it according to the instructions that's on the packet. So yeah, they will do well for you, but you're not going to have 100, you know, any place is not going to have necessarily 100%. I mean, that's unrealistic, but we have our germination rates are generally easily above 85 to 90%.
Yeah, usually I plant 2 or 3 seeds in a hole. One of them's going to grow.
That's true.
It's been my thought process. And so anyway, aside from that, as far as how to start the seeds and when to start the seeds, we're in planting season right now, pretty much for the most part. Most of the seeds. Is there any seed that you don't plant right now?
Well, you're hot, love. I mean, like depending on the environment and the state that you're growing in is the key factor on that. Something like corn, you know, planting outside would be a waste of your time unless you're in the South, because it's just the soil needs to be 75 to 80 degrees for corn to do well. Things like lettuce, they can get by with cooler temperatures, soil temperatures. So it just depends on where you're located at, what you're growing. If you're growing inside, of course, you want to get your tomatoes, your broccoli, your cabbage. Broccoli and cabbage, those varieties are, you really need to get them going. But like tomatoes and peppers, you need to start them sometime February and March generally, and get them up to, you know, a foot tall, whatever, before you transplant them out. So it really boils down to your location and whatever state that you're in, and of course the weather. Like, you're getting rain today, but you want a soil temperature generally between 75 degrees for most varieties. The hot loving things like peppers and squash and corn, you want that's just a little bit higher.
And this is one of the reasons why I'm doing greenhouse gardening this time around, because I need to make sure that they don't get overwatered. because the weather with geoengineering going on here is just very unpredictable. And not only that, but the garbage. Now, fortunately, we have discovered that the geoengineering stuff, if it comes down out of the sky and it rains on your crops, they're only going to take the nutrients out of that they need, and they're going to discard the rest. So, I'm more concerned with the mRNA, the junk that they're going to be injecting in the rest of your food, like your chickens, your beef, your cattle. And you're going to get this stuff in the store, and it's not going to be labeled. And if they put bioengineered on it, you can assume automatically that something weird's going on, and you probably want to look in another location or find an alternate source in your local community that is not jabbing their cattle and their poultry and other livestock, and get the stuff fresh from them. That's the best recommendation I can get right now, considering the subject matter we've had. But the reason we had Mike on is, one, White Harvest Seeds, we got them at the Power Mall. And if you have not made the commitment to start gardening, you need to do that right now. You cannot wait. You've got to get the seeds in the ground in the next few weeks. I just planted three different varieties of tomatoes last week. And so, you know, I'm waiting. I know I should have done it sooner, but didn't have a chance. Didn't get to it. Had too many other things going on. Life happens. That's the way it is with most people. But you have to understand that probably within the next 2 to 3 months, and you got to keep your eyes on the news as to what's going on. The back channel news will tell you when this mRNA injection junk is going to start with food. And if you're buying this stuff in the store, like Impossible Meat, usually they're clumped together in an entire section. And this stuff, it'll say plant-based, it'll say Impossible Meat, there'll be chicken nuggets, there'll be all this ultra-processed food that is highly likely going to be contaminated with this garbage. Avoid it like the plague. Complain to your grocer. Why are you carrying this stuff? You know it's toxic. I tell them every day, every time I go into the store about that. The one thing I can guarantee you, and Mike will attest to this, is that when you're gardening and doing your own thing, the chances of you coming up with healthy food is probably 99% better than going grocery shopping. Right, sir?
I'd agree with that for sure. For sure. I think certain practices in some of the big old producers like California and Mexico, and you've probably discussed it on your program, is that they even use human waste as their fertilizer. And, you know, that's a scary thought too. But definitely growing it yourself and using the proper fertilizers and the proper natural means to prevent bugs and diseases is the best way you're going to be able to control your supply of food for your family.
Right. And the thing is don't freeze the seed, whatever you do. Don't put it in the freezer.
That's my recommendation. Yeah, some people will tell you that seed can be frozen, but what happens, in my opinion, if your seed is not dried properly, it will crack. Just like water, when it freezes, breaks open, so it's big. So definitely, freezing is not a recommendation that we have at White Harvest Seed.
Well, we appreciate that, Mike Knox. Thanks so much. We're at the end of the break, and just want to let you know, folks, we're going to try to get Alex Fink on the horn here after the break. Here on the Power Hour, stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
It's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time, Wednesday. No, it's Thursday. Yeah, the week just flies right by. April 6, 2023. And, Hump Day was interesting yesterday, but man, three guests on the show today, too. And, of course, those of you, again, that are in Missouri and elsewhere that make a difference. If you are listening to us in, what are the other states? North Dakota, Arizona, and Idaho. If you're listening to us up there, you get on the phone and you call your state legislatures because they've got similar legislation as Missouri House Bill 1169, where they want to label mRNA-based food. Anything that's been injected with the vaccine, they want to label, and the biotech industries are pushing back like crazy, trying to scare people, trying to bribe legislators into not allowing this out of committee. It's already failed in Tennessee. So understand, this is some pretty serious stuff because you want to know the food you're buying in the store has not been contaminated with the jab. Otherwise, you'll be eating basically genetically modified food, spike protein type food, and they're going to get that vaccine into you one way or another, and this is how they're going to do it. They're going to contaminate your food. Now, is this junk science? No. There, since January 1st, 2022, and Alex, we're going to try to get Tom Rentz on the show, who's an attorney, to talk about a lot of this stuff and what they're doing and not doing and how safe this stuff is. It's not safe at all. But we're talking about junk in your food, but there's a different kind of diet out there. It's called information diet. And I told you about this at the beginning of the show that we were going to talk to Alex Fink, who is a tech executive. He's an expat from Silicon Valley. And I hope to God he didn't have any money invested in that damn bank up there. He's the founder and CEO of Other Web. It's otherweb.com. That's the name of it. It's a public benefit corporation that improves the quality of information people consume. See, with the big PSYOPs thing going on, first off, Alex, welcome to the show. With the PSYOPs garbage that we've been fed the last several years since we've been locked down and programmed by mainstream media to be fearful of every little thing, we've become rather cynical. How do you change something like that?
Well, I think you have to be, first of all, good morning. I think you have to be very mindful about what you're consuming. And you're right that there are intentional efforts going on to mislead us, but there's also unintentional incentive that everybody has to just produce stuff that makes you click on things, right? The worst one I've seen was from CNN. I saw a headline that said, stop what you're doing and watch this elephant play with bubbles. Now, is that an attempt to mislead us? Probably no. It's just an attempt to get us to click on things so they can show us more ads. But the result is that we're all consuming this garbage all the time, and it's really hard to then think critically and evaluate information when you're bombarded with this stuff.
Well, and everybody has been, and ever since Clinton and everybody else got in, Al Gore, who, of course, invented the Internet, and I'm being sarcastic here, everybody and their brother, I got to chuckle at least, everybody and their brother out there is trying to get you to get a computer and get on the Internet and stay on the Internet and live off the Internet. There's a lot of people that they've literally left QVC Shopping Network, but there are some that still watch TV all day and just spend on credit cards like that until they max out their credit card, and they're hoarders and they just buy anything on QVC. But see, the thing is with the Internet, that's a trap as well, not only to try to sell you stuff, but to actually get information out of you about your spending habits. And then even further than that, your personal information, like these surveys that you see every so often about, do you want to vote for Trump or DeSantis or whatever? And it leads into something different. Is most of this junk that's out there politically related?
Politically related accounts for a small amount of it, but ultimately it is whatever you're going to click on. And these systems, they try to get information out of you to figure out what you're going to click on, what you are most likely to engage with. They're all essentially optimizing a single parameter, which is time on site. And this is why we went from reading the news for a few minutes per day to spending 20 minutes a day on Facebook to now spending 90 minutes a day on TikTok on average, right? Because these systems are getting better and better at hacking our brain, for lack of a better term. And it's not like they have an agenda that is specific. They want to give you a political messaging, or they want to give you celebrity-related messaging. They're trying to figure out what messaging is going to work for you, and they just hammer that point home over and over and over. All they're doing is to try to figure out what your weakness is.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. And if you disconnected from the Internet completely, I mean, they get you hooked. That's part of it. And so they think, yeah, well, look at the immediacy of the information that's there. And see, people, you want to watch TV. If you don't have Fox News, and this is why the mainstream media channels operate 24/7, and they've always got something going on, because they basically are in charge of, the CIA and everybody else is in charge of the news cycle. And that's where it starts. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I agree that the news is a big part of the problem, that the news itself became clickbaity at some point, and it has really bad consequences for our brains, right? There was a study from 2013 where the researchers compared people who were at the Boston Marathon bombing to people who just watched news coverage of the Boston Marathon bombing for 6 hours or more. And the people who watched the news coverage were more likely to have PTSD. So at some point, the news becomes almost worse than reality. And I'm not going to advise people to disconnect, because being informed is important. But you have to figure out how much of your time you want to spend on news versus reading a book, versus some other type of information you could consume, versus talking to your neighbor. You have to have some balance between these things. And so at the other one, the first thing we're trying to do is to help people avoid obvious junk, the elephants blowing bubbles or the intentional misinformation. But the second thing we're trying to get, or to help people to do, is to figure out, how do you want to balance the different types of information you consume? Like, if you have news in here, why don't you also have books in here, so that you can maintain some sort of ratio between the two?
Well, see, and we've lost that. We've lost the capacity there. We have a good percentage of our listening audience, Alex, that is, they read books. They're totally into books. And this is how they spend a lot of their time when they're not listening to this program. And there's probably at least three or four other news programs like this, back channel media, we call it, alternative media. And we're in the top 50 alternative media, according to the latest rankings, that basically people rely on what we have to say as far as making adjustments in their lifestyle. We also have a satellite giveaway, and the satellite actually beams up to Global Star, you know, or Galaxy 19 Global Star, and you get channels that are basically more Christian-oriented and alternative media channels and channels from foreign countries where you might actually hear more truth than not. But the big question here is, how do you discern information that's accurate from misinformation?
So it's definitely not easy. And the fact is, even if you look at things like research studies, a good percentage of them is fake, even though they've gone through so much peer review and editorial review and all of these things. So you cannot filter things out 100%. My suggestion to people is start from the low-hanging fruit. Filter out the obviously bad stuff. Use tools like OtherWeb, but there are a few others that you can use to try to filter out the obvious clickbaity junk that just isn't news at all. It's not fake news. It's just not news to begin with. Right? Once you filter out the easy stuff, now there's less to work with. You're drinking from a smaller fire hose, so to speak. And so now you can start to look at telltale signs of things that look like misinformation. News that's too perfect to be true. News that was reported by CNN, but let's say, but wasn't echoed on Fox News. Okay, so probably if the two sides disagree on it, you need to wait a little bit before declaring it as God's honest truth, right? And so you start operating with this, or like something that I notice a lot, when people put a giant, very loud adjective ahead of what they're trying to describe, right? If somebody, instead of telling you that a law is about to be passed, they say draconian law, they probably have an agenda. They're not reporting the news right now, right? The same thing if instead of saying that X disagreed with Y, they say X destroyed Y. They probably have an agenda. They're not just trying to tell you what happened. And so if you just start noticing these things and you start cross-referencing and watching more than one source, then I think over time you will just develop a keen eye towards detecting things that are there with an agenda as opposed to just a piece of information somebody shared out of the goodness of their heart.
Well, the majority of the stuff, because I spend about an hour and a half to 2 hours a day researching topic material for the show, and I have to get past a lot of this garbage, and I look at anything that what I call tit for tat. In other words, one side said something, the other side reacted. One side said a negative, the other side came back with another negative. It's been neg, 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 and this is the information junk that's out there. Anybody, like all these politicians and people that make these stupid comments and say stuff like defund the police, anything that's divisive, I try to eliminate as much of that as possible because that's the obvious. They're in your face with it. And I'm sure that you've realized this in your research through OtherWeb, that the stuff that when they have an agenda, they're in your face with it. But when they start getting into the arguendo, that's really the stuff you need to avoid, isn't it? That's just
it
their
is.
Opinion.
And in fact, it is. And usually you can just notice the language. You don't even need to look at the substance of what exactly they're claiming. Just the language itself is a telltale sign. Right? If they're using lots of adjectives and not that many proper nouns, it's probably an opinion piece and not news, right? And so just by comparing these two parameters, we actually have one of the filters we have in our nutrition label does basically that. You just look at how they're describing the event, and you figure out whether they're trying to inform or to persuade, because typically you only do one of the two.
Yeah, it makes sense. And so the otherweb.com, if people go there, what are they going to see?
Few things that we do. Essentially, we try to aggregate as much information as we can. News, commentary, podcasts, research studies, books, Wikipedia, online courses, everything in one place. Then we filter out the things that are obvious junk that raises red flags, and we give you as much customization as possible. So you as the user can pick which topics interest you. You can pick your quality threshold for each topic. I want more articles or I want less articles, but just the best ones, for example. And you can enable or disable particular sources. So if we have a little over 100 different news outlets in the news section, you can choose, I want to disable CNN, but I want to enable ABC, for instance, or the opposite, right? So it's really up to you. We try to sample from both sides of the political aisle. We don't want to just appeal to people on the right or people on the left. We want to reach everyone and help everyone consume better quality information. But ultimately, we want to give people as much control as they can, which is the opposite of what most companies do right now, where you have a black box algorithm and you don't even know what it inferred about you. Right? So even now that we are rolling out advanced customization where we actually try to figure out which topics interest you out of the 200 so topics in the news right now, we will show you the affinity that we calculated between you and every particular topic so that you can disagree and adjust it. So if we decided you like electric cars but you don't, you can tell us, well, guys, you were wrong. I don't like this. Move the slider to the left. So that's the general approach. We have a website that you mentioned, otherweb.com, but we also have apps on Android and iOS, all called the Otherweb. And we have a newsletter where you can sign up and send you the 9 important stories of the day, again, sampled from both left and right. And our hope is that people will just consume the news to be informed, but then ultimately they will want to dive deeper into research studies or into online courses, into something that isn't just breaking news from today, because there isn't that much breaking news happening in any given day. Most of it is manufactured to look like news, but nothing actually happened.
Well, I've noticed, and you may agree or disagree or have a weigh-in on this, but I've noticed that there's been a lot of anchor people. We call them talking heads in our business, but there's been a lot of anchor people out there that are literally trying to, instead of talking about the news and reporting the news, they want to create news by interjecting their opinion and trying to build a story out of nothing. Do you see a lot of that going on?
I see a lot of it going on, and it actually started before the internet. It started because of 24-hour news channels, right? And now the internet is making it substantially worse. But if you think about how much really newsworthy stuff is happening in any given day, it's not that much. You take a big topic like the war in Ukraine, let's say. Well, how often does the battle line move? Once every 3 weeks or so? What are these channels going to report the rest of the time? They're going to come up with stuff. Well, somebody intercepted the communication from this guy to that guy who supposedly said that. That's not real news, right? It's mostly hearsay or somebody's comments on hearsay. But that's what's being reported. The same thing happens at Washington, D.C. as well. Well, how often do we have elections? How often do we have at least a proposition or a special election or something real happening in politics? Not every week, right? It's usually once every few weeks at best, sometimes even less so. But people are being paid to be the Washington correspondent for a particular channel. What's that person going to do? He or she is going to manufacture news the rest of the time because there's no real news to report on.
So are you familiar with the Tavistock Institute?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Tavistock Institute is a think tank, nonprofit in London. Sigmund Freud, there's a statue of him outside. It was started back in the mid-40s. And basically, the Tavistock Institute controls most of what our American mainstream media programs. They're the ones, the left wing, especially. They also have their tentacles into the Heritage Foundation. And, you know, I hated to report that. But see, when you start reading the articles from the Heritage Foundation versus the Cato Institute versus some of these other think tanks out there, the agendas definitely rear their ugly head. And all of this is manipulated. The Tavistock Institute was behind MK Ultra, which was the CIA's messing with the mind drugs and everything else tactics. And so that's why I asked that question. Chad in North Carolina, you're on the phone with Alex Fink. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hate to get into opinion, but I just mentioned this concern about the mRNA technology being put in the livestock. And I just had a family member tell me a short time ago that they claim they read an article claiming that they had already been putting it in the livestock for 20 years. And I kind of wondered, is that even true, or are they just trying to desensitize people from being concerned about this coming about?
Good question.
That seems most likely to me.
Yeah, Alex, what do you think?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, 20 years ago, there were no mRNA vaccines. The technology is fairly recent. So the ones that we saw 2 years ago were the first ones to ever get approved and used.
That's what I thought.
Well, do you think that they were putting hormones and stuff like that? I knew they were doing that, but I didn't hear about it either. I know that January 1st of 2002 is when Tom Renz came out with the article we were talking about earlier on the show about the bioengineering, and all of that started, you know, a couple of decades ago. But I think, Alex, as far as your, you know, surmising when mRNA came into fruition, we didn't start to see all of that until after the scare tactic and the lockdown, which, Chad, I know that that's something that you pointed out on the show before when you've called in, is the disconcerting cause and effect scenarios posited by our government through the media.
Yeah, to me, they are intertwined. They are one and the same, as far as I can tell. And a lot greater minds than me have pointed that out for a long time. People like Dr. Dennis Cuddy, the late Dr. Stan Monteith. That's where I learned it from. So, unfortunately, I live in an area where the people that if they hear about this stuff, they don't seem to be really concerned about it. They just, it's kind of the Rush Limbaugh call them the low information voters. They just don't do a little research, and that's kind of the area where I live. I feel like I'm sort of stuck in a population that really just has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, you're not alone, so. Chad. You're not alone, Alex. You've seen this. I would anticipate, based on what otherweb.com is all about, and the topic is removing junk from the information diet. Chad, I would think, and Alex, you can chime in on this one. I would think that a lot of the people that are out there that you say, Chad, are clueless, that don't know what's going on, probably have been feeding off of this junk diet that's going on right now. Would you say, Alex?
Well, I would say that I don't want to comment on any specific group of people, right? But in general, we're consuming more information than ever. So the people who are low information, as you call them, right? Essentially, they're consuming a lot of information. It's just mostly dense videos on TikTok or some nice photos of places on Instagram or something else that they think is information. It masquerades as information, but it doesn't actually inform them in any way. So we're bombarded with this stuff. And then at the end of the day, if you're just walking on the street and you ask somebody who's the vice president of the United States right now, half the people can't answer.
Wow, that's sad. That's really sad. Oh, my goodness. All right. So now the left wing obviously has, and we're going to get into a little bit of politics here with the last couple of minutes. Chad, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. This scenario that's going on right now with the left versus the right and the division, and I can't say that consuming a little junk is good for the thought process, but when we're talking about what's going on in Congress right now with this Restrict Act, which they think it's dead in the water, but they're trying to ban TikTok because they claim that it's initiated by Chinese Communist Party through ByteDance and that TikTok is not good, but they're trying to attach other amendments to this to restrict freedom of speech and people using virtual private networks. Isn't that just a little rather advanced for the human psyche?
Well, it is a kind of a complicated topic because on the one hand, it's pretty obvious that TikTok has some bad effects, right? But it's also pretty obvious that when you give this much power to regulators, you don't know what, even if the current regulators happen to be good, you don't know what the next generation of regulators is going to do with that power. So the provisions they put in that act, as far as I can tell, they look a lot like what China is doing to block our social networks from operating there, right? Instead of just saying, well, you can't download this app, they're adding, and you can't use a VPN to access this website, and here's the punishment if you try to, right? And that seems like something that the U.S. has never had before, at the very least. So it's kind of odd that they're trying to pass that now. I'm hoping that even if the bill itself passes, there will be amendment that will strip those parts out of it.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Poison pills, what they call them. And sometimes it kills the entire bill. But see, there's this First Amendment freedom of speech thing we've got going on in America. And there's a lot of constitutionalists out here that are pushing back on this. Anyway, we're at the end of our segment, Alex, and I really appreciate you coming on. Now, if you want to look at this website, because I just was on there bopping around, checking out all the details and the news information, and yes, you can actually select what's important to you. It's called otherweb.com. So for those of you who want to venture out there, this is Alex Fink's project, and we've been talking to him about that on our show today. With all this information that's out there, folks, you've got to get at the truth, and that's what it's all about. And that's the one thing about the Bible. You know, it never comes back. If it's of God, it won't come back negative. It'll always come back positive. Dave Krieger will be back tomorrow with our Friday edition of the Power Hour. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless the United States of America if it can get its head in the right place. See you tomorrow.
Hi, this is Jay at the Paramall here to tell you about a North American urban spice product called Chaga Max. This product is considered SOD, or superoxide dismutase. This is an enzyme found in all living cells. SOD helps break down potentially harmful oxygen molecules in cells. Chaga Max is fortified with the powers of wild oregano and wild birch bark. Get your Chaga Max by calling 877-817-9829 or go to theparamall.com. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.